Welcome to Hope for Ishmael,
reconciling Arabs and Jews to the Father and each other through the gospel of Jesus Christ,
ministering the gospel of salvation to the unsaved, that they may come to a saving knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ and find abundant life in Him,
increasing the awareness of the Islamic movement,
developing programs to counter Islam's aggressive strategies,
equipping Christians, Muslim converts, and Jewish believers to reach the unsaved Muslims and Jews.
Our desire is to partner with churches and organizations that share a desire to reach the world for Jesus Christ and bring peace to those who feel there is no hope. Hey, welcome back. This is your host, Andrew, and my wife, Megan. And we have a very special guest with us tonight. It's a former pastor of Abundant Life, executive pastor of Abundant Life Baptist Church in Lee Summit, Missouri, and a current director of Africa for MANA Worldwide, Rick Friesen. Welcome, Rick.
Hello, good to be here.
And it's great to have you. You talked to us a little bit, just in conversation, about some of your past. And the mission statement for Hope for Ishmael just matches it perfectly. And it's reconciling a hurting world to Jesus Christ. If you could share just a little bit to start us off about your past and some of the hurts that you went through, it may relate to some of our listeners. We'd be honored to hear that.
Sure. Well, first of all, I want to thank the Lord for doing such a wonderful work in my life, just as He promised He would do when we accept Him as our Savior. And I grew up in a very dysfunctional home. My real dad and my mom had separated three times by the time I was about 9 years of age, and around 9 or 10 years of age, they finally got a divorce. And I remember it being a very sad time in my life. In fact, I remember when we did have visitation with my dad once a week, I remember every Sunday when he dropped us off and would pick us up on a Sunday morning and then drop us back home to my mom's Sunday. I just remember bawling and feeling very lonely as that nine-year-old little boy. As a result of that, and a result of not having any semblance of God in our home, I grew up sad and grew up with some behavioral issues as a young man. I was very hyper, got in trouble at school quite a bit. But then about 11 years of age, my mom met a guy and ended up marrying this man who was an alcoholic. And my mom, who really didn't drink too much prior to that, also became an alcoholic, started drinking. And my stepdad was a very, very mean, angry man. Had four sisters and a brother. My brother went to live with my dad at a very early age, so I was left to fend for my sisters. And my stepdad, in his drinking binges, would beat my mom. He beat us kids. There was many a nights where I had to round my sisters up and run to a neighbor's house for safety. And as I got older and got to be a teenager, you know, this went on for a couple of years before I was a teenager. I became a very bitter teenager. But probably what made me most bitter was one night when I walked in on my stepdad molesting one of my sisters.
Wow.
And I was so angry. If there was a God in my mind at that time, I was certainly angry at him. I was certainly angry with my stepdad. I couldn't understand, if there was a God, why he would allow us to be born into a family like this. And sometimes I would look up into heaven and say, if there really is a God, if you really are out there, then how could you do this? As a result, as I said, I became very bitter. It was all swept under the carpet, even though my sister told my mom about it. They said she was lying, and I, you know, intervened and said, I saw it, and it was just all swept under the carpet. And so I was in a lot of fights as a teenager. I was very bitter. I would lay awake at night thinking, I don't know that I ever would have done it, but I was at least thinking of ways that I could kill my stepdad. And yet I didn't like that. I knew it was tearing me apart inside. But as God says in his word, he draws all men and women unto himself. And even though we didn't have any semblance of Christianity in our home, God prepared a young man by the name of Bill Bourne, who was coming to be a youth pastor at a church about a half a mile from our house. Somebody had tipped him off to me and said, you need to go visit this kid, and he did. And he knocked on my door, and he began to tell me about God's love and how God loved me so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for me. And
you know,
go ahead.
Well, I just think there are people who probably can relate to both sides of what you're saying right now. There are probably people who can't imagine forgiving somebody for the pain that they're feeling in their lives. And, you know, as I think of all the things you went through separation a few different times from your parents, kind of back and forth, roller coaster of emotions, and then the actual final divorce, which I can only imagine what that felt like after three times of that roller coaster ride. Then for your parents, or for your mom to remarry and both of them to be alcoholics, I mean, you just had all sorts of painful situations where I think a lot of people could probably understand why you would feel the way that you felt. But then I think some people who may be listening might also relate to the fact that they may be that one person in somebody's life right now that God may be preparing, like the youth pastor that you're starting to talk about. To step in. You know, Tafsir Abisada, the founder of Hope for Ishmael, he was a similar situation. You know, he had a lot of pains in his past, and through coming to school in the United States of America and working at a restaurant, there was an individual customer there, for those that know his story, a regular customer that became that person. And so I just think, you know, for people who are listening right now, just maybe God's getting their attention and saying, you may be that person that's stepping into somebody's life, or they may be the person that really will cling to the testimony that you might share.
Well, I think, you know, absolutely, Andrew. In fact, I believe that, you know, God is constantly, and he wants to reconcile. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, in all things of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And so you're absolutely right. I look at it as God matches prayers. Here's a bitter teenage young man that was really saying a prayer to God and kind of shaking his fist through a prayer, saying, God, if you're real, show me. God, if you really are real, then where are you at, is what I was really saying. And then there was this other young youth pastor that's praying, God, use me. And so God matched those prayers and sent this youth pastor to my doorstep. And he told me that God loves me and that he sent his son to die on the cross for me. He told me that, shared me Bible verses in Romans that said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and explained to me that I needed a Savior, and that God could save me if I would just admit that I was a sinner and ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart.
And Rick, I remember you also saying how this was the first time in your life that you really felt the presence of the Lord wash over you.
Yeah.
He was showing this stuff with you, and it's so amazing because God is so good in that he brings us out of situations, and his grace and his peace and his cleansing flood just takes over us and renews us. And at that point, we truly do become a new creation. And so, you know, just continue telling. I'm so excited to continue to hear and learn what the Lord has done in your life.
You're right. I'd shared with you earlier that while this youth pastor was talking to me, it really was the first time in my life that I felt love. I literally felt God's love right at that moment that he was talking to me, and And that was part of God wooing me to him. And right there, I did get on my knees, and I said, God, I'm a sinner, and I want you to take away this bitterness and this evilness in my heart and plotting against somebody, and I want you to save me. I need a Savior. And he saved me. And immediately I had hope. And a lot of people may not understand that, but that's what happens when you accept Christ. He gives you hope. Mm-hmm. Although I didn't know any Bible verses then, he spoke verses into my heart. He told me that, he had a plan for me, not to harm me, but to prosper me. You know, I didn't know that was in Jeremiah 29 at that time, but he spoke it into my heart. I had this hope that the four walls that I saw around me and that bitterness and I when I thought about my future and thought about my life, I thought that I was going to end up just like my stepdad. I thought I'd probably be in jail. I thought a lot of things. But God said, no, I've got a different plan for you. And from that moment on, I've tried to live for the Lord, and God's done some amazing things in my life. And I remember going to my parents, and I thought they'd be so excited to hear what happened. I thought they'd want to accept Christ immediately, too, but they just looked at me and kind of dumbfounded and said, well, you'll get over it. And it's been 37 years, and I've never gotten over it. but I tell you what I did get over. I did get over my bitterness. And what I tell people, you know, nothing in my home life really changed. My stepdad was still an alcoholic until he died. My mom was still an alcoholic until she died. But I changed.
Do you really feel like that's true? You really feel like that God has taken that bitterness from you?
Oh, absolutely. And the proof is in the pudding. My stepdad, God put a love in my heart for him that I can't even explain. It's a supernatural love. Now, I don't to this day, I would not condone the things that he did, especially with my sisters, but God put a love in my heart. When he was dying on his deathbed, I was there with him the whole time. I was one of the only family members there with him. My sisters and some other relatives just couldn't understand what I was doing there and said, you know, after all we've been through, how can you care for him like that? And I told him, I said, you know, God's put a supernatural love in my heart for him. I can't hate him. I don't like what he did, but I can't hate him.
It's so neat to hear how God's been so faithful that when you cried out to the Lord that night after talking to your youth pastor and you asked the Lord to take your bitterness away, coming up on such a hard situation and a sad situation of your stepfather passing away and really feeling that release of bitterness, though. I mean, our Lord is faithful in all that he does and all of his promises, and I think, you know, being able to be there in his final moments and just continue to have the peace, you know, of the Lord upon your life just speaks volume about your testimony, about what God's done and how he's reconciled you to himself, and in that allowed you, you know, in your heart to be free of those chains, you know, that were, I don't know, keeping you in that bondage of bitterness. I'm so amazed you have such a faithful God. And thank you for sharing all your testimony.
And I think to some extent, the acts of kindness and the love that God allowed me to have for him softened his heart. You know, while he was still an alcoholic, he did soften his heart some. And I don't know, you know, it's between him and God whether or not he's ever accepted Christ. I witnessed to him many times. And he never professed to me that he did. But he did soften his heart towards my mom and towards us kids. And I think that all has to do with, you know, Colossians 1:20-22, and having made peace through the blood of the cross by him to reconcile all things unto himself. You know, there's peace through the blood of the cross.
And when we accept Christ as our Savior, God is calling us to make peace with people. And that's why I love the ministry that you all are involved with, because it is a ministry of reconciliation. And we're all called to a ministry of reconciliation, no matter what people have done. With my stepdad, I could have taken revenge. I could have carried out on
And where would you be now?
Yeah. Yeah, and nothing would have changed. The only thing that can change a person is Jesus Christ and accepting his love.
Rick, how has God taken that? Because it's obviously quite a testimony. Philippians, he promises to carry out the completion of the good work he's begun in you. You know, how is he using you in your adult life now?
The very first thing I'm just praised God every day for is, you know, my family, we come from a long line of scallywags. you name it, it's probably been in our family down the line. And but when my brother accepted Christ, and in our adulthood, we got on our knees and we prayed and asked God to change a generation and that it would start with us. And God has honored that. Both of our boys, Glenn and our boys, have accepted Christ. They're married now. They're serving the Lord and doing wonderful. My brother's kids, one of them's in the ministry and the other one's serving the Lord. And so God is honoring that prayer. God is honoring that prayer and some of my sister's kids also. And so that is a praise. You know, I did get to a point in my adult life where not only did I get over the bitterness as a teenager, but I got to a point in my adult life where I actually was able to go to God and say thank you for the experience, because it has made me more sensitive to people's needs, and it's made me very effective in ministry. So after being in an abundant life for 13 years, God's brought me full circle, and I get to minister to kids again and children and some children that are praying the same thing that I was praying. God, if you're real, we need to be fed.
And God has brought an incredible opportunity in ministry to you and worldwide. I don't know if it briefly kind of tell us a synopsis of how he's using you there.
God has used me at Abundant Life, but he shared with me I need to get out of my comfort zone, and he called me a man of worldwide. And as director of Africa Man of Worldwide, we have the privilege of meeting kids' physical needs and their spiritual needs, and we do that by setting up nutrition centers for kids and sharing Bible stories with them, and then able to minister to their parents also. And the kids end up accepting Christ, and their parents accept Christ, and God is literally changing whole communities as a result of this model. So it's very exciting.
Very neat, Rick. We're so happy for you and all that the Lord's doing, and it's just so amazing to hear such the faithfulness of our God in your life and your faithfulness to him, giving back out of what he's given you. And I know so many times in my own life I've seen God use challenging times and hard times, and he turns them into good. I know Romans 8:28 says that God uses all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And I think your life just speaks volumes of that, that God is good and God is not done with any of us, even the least of these young children. And I just want to encourage you in your new ministry. Be bold and brave and courageous, and continue to take the land and take back what the enemy has stolen from so many young people. And I know that God's going to use you in just vibrant ways to shine a love of Jesus and to really reach their hearts and reach their little lives. And I'm just honored to be able to hear your testimony tonight and be able to share it with people around the world, so that others may also know and experience and have the same joy that you have and that we have. So thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to meet with us, Rick. We're honored to hear what God's doing of your life, and we'll continue to be in prayer for you and your wife as you transition to this full-time ministry with Amana Worldwide. And just a blessing. You're such a blessing. I know you've been such a blessing at our church, and I know that you're going to continue to bless others as you step out.
Give us one final thought. If somebody is still sitting there just feeling like they don't know how to do this and they don't know where to go next, give them a word of encouragement. What would you say to the person that's listening right now?
Yeah, absolutely. You can never go wrong by totally throwing yourself at the feet of Jesus in obedience. And if God is calling you to a ministry, you know, God, as we went over some verses tonight, that God has called all of us to the ministry of reconciliation. But God has specific plans for each one of us, and we just need to follow that with reckless abandonment. He has never, ever let me down. Even when I was that little boy, and I'm shaking my fist at him as a teenager, he still brought people to me to relieve my burdens. And he's very faithful.
Amen to that. Rick Treason, thank you very much for being with us.
All right, guys. God bless.